Thursday, February 26th. The lesson from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. In those days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, What is the meaning that you use among you, this parable as a proverb in the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the teeth of the children are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, this parable shall be no more to you a proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, the same shall die. And if a man be just, and do judgment and justice, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, and hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, nor come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not wronged any man, but hath restored the pledge to the debtor, hath taken away nothing by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, hath not lent upon usury, nor taken any increase, hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my commandments, and kept my judgments to do truth. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord Almighty. Haydock Commentary. Those in captivity would not allow that they were punished for their own sins. God convinces them of the contrary. They knew that he often visited the sins of the fathers upon the children, and that many had suffered for their parents' faults, like those of Saul and David. But these were all guilty of original sin at least, and death is not always a real misfortune. God seems to allow that the complaints had hitherto had some grounds, but that they should be removed after the captivity, and still more effectually by the death of Christ, who came to redeem sinners and rejected none. By baptism he cancels original sin, the sour grape, and those who cannot receive it are not innocent. God chastises the body, but not the soul of children, for their parents' faults, and this conduct is a trial for them, which may increase their glory. Behold, all souls are mine. Here he insinuates the vocation of the Gentiles and the general redemption. All will be treated according to their works. He that hath not eaten upon the mountains, that is, of the sacrifices they are offered to idols, or partaken in their usual feasts. Some irregularly worshipped God in these high places under many pious kings and were tolerated, though condemned for so doing. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. At that time, Jesus went from thence and retired into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan who came out of those coasts, crying out, said to him, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously troubled by the devil. Who answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answering said, I was not sent but to the sheep that are lost of the house of Israel. But she came and adored him, saying, Lord, help me. Who answering said, It is not good to take the bread of the children and to cast it to the dogs. But she said, Yea, Lord, for the whelps also eat of the crumbs that fall from the table of their masters. Then Jesus answering said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it done to thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was cured from that hour. Haydock Commentary. It perhaps may be asked why Jesus went among the Gentiles when he had commanded his apostles to avoid those countries. One reason may be that our Savior was not subject to the same rules he gave his disciples. Another reason may be brought that he did not go then to preach. Hence St. Matthew observes that he kept himself retired. So says St. John Chrysostom. Tyre and Sidon were both situated on the Mediterranean Sea, about 20 miles distant from each other, and the adjoining country to the west and north of Galilee was called the coast or territories of Tyre and Sidon. The old inhabitants of this tract were descendants of Canaan, for Sidon was his eldest son, and continued in possession of it much longer than they did of any other part of the country. The Greeks called it Phoenicia, and when by right of conquest it became a province of Syria, it took the name of Syrophoenicia. Hence the woman whom St. Matthew calls a Canaanite, St. Mark calls a Syrophoenician and Gentile, as being both by religion and language a Greek. It is probable that woman first cried out before the door and assembled a crowd, and then went into the house. The great faith of the woman is justly extolled. She believed him to be God, whom she calls her Lord, and him to be a man, whom she styles the Son of David. She lays no stress upon her own merits, but supplicates for the mercy of God. Neither does she say, Have mercy on my daughter, but have mercy on me, To move him to compassion, she lays all her grief and sorrow before him in these afflicting words, "My daughter is grievously afflicted by a devil." He answered her not. It must not be supposed that our Savior refused to hear the woman through any contempt, but only to show that his mission was in the first instance to the Jews, or to induce her to ask with greater earnestness, so as to deserve more ample assistance. It is not good to take the bread of the children and to cast it to the dogs, that is, to the Gentiles, sometimes so called by the Jews. Our Lord crosses the wishes of the Canaanian, not that he intended to reject her, but that he might bring to light the hidden and secret treasure of her virtue. Let us admire not only the greatness of her faith, but likewise the profoundness of her humility. For when our Savior called the Jews children, so far from being envious of another's praise, she readily answers and gives them the title of lords. And when Christ likened her to a dog, she presently acknowledges the meanness of her condition. So says St. John Chrysostom. He refused at first to listen to her petition, says St. John Chrysostom, to instruct us with what faith, humility, and perseverance we ought to pray. To make his servants more sensible of his mercy, and more eager to obtain it, he often appears to pay no attention to their prayers, till he had exercised them in the virtues of humility and patience. Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened to you. In the beginning God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Here Jesus Christ says, "Let it be done," and it was done, and her daughter was healed from that hour. So powerful with God is earnest and fervent prayer.